After 3 years without a Senate-confirmed inspector general, the VA now has one. Michael Missel was sworn in this past spring. In his first interview, Missel tells me about his plans for VA investigations and for helping with the mission.
I was sworn in on May 2nd, and my first goal was really to get to know the office as well as possible, to understand the people, the priority, and practices. And given the significance of the work of this office, I decided I was going to hit the ground sprinting, not running. So what I did first was really get to meet with as many people as possible in the office. That also includes meeting with people outside of Washington, D.C. Most of our people are actually out in offices outside of Washington, D.C.
How big is the whole operation?
The office is about 700 people at this time. We have about 200 in the Washington, D.C. area and 500 outside. So in the relatively short time I've been here, I've already made trips to St. Petersburg, Florida, Chicago, Denver, Dallas, and we have an office in Crystal City as well. I also sent out a survey to all 700 of the staff to ask them, what do we do well? Where can we improve? What else do you think I should know as the new IG here? The response I got was really terrific. It was an extremely high percentage. And all of that is helping me to formulate what we need to do to improve our operations.
And what did they tell you, the employees?
The employees told me that they are very dedicated to our mission of helping VA improve its operations and programs to help veterans, but that there's a lot of things we can do better. And I told everybody, nothing is off the table. We're looking at everything.
And so among those things that they felt the office could do better, how do those go in? What are they, and how do they go into your priorities?
Well, there are a lot of different things, but it's really to make sure that we're really aligned with how VA spends its money and how it serves veterans. We're a relatively small office compared to the size of VA. VA has over 350,000 employees. It has 144 medical centers. It has over 1,200 community clinics. It has 56 benefits offices. It has 133 cemeteries. So that's a lot to look out for. So we want to make sure we're looking at the areas of the highest risk and where the most money and services are spent.
And speaking of risk, every year the Government Accountability Office has its high-risk list, and you've probably seen it by now, having been here a couple of months. Do some of what you plan to do here align with whatever VA programs are on that list?
Absolutely. I want to make sure that what GAO and we do, since we have some similar responsibilities, actually complement each other instead of being in conflict.
All right. So what do you plan to do as far as reorganizing or changing things to accommodate what people said need to be done better?
That's still in the process right now. One of the things we can do better is to make sure we're putting our work out on a more timely basis. I'm still considering other changes, but one thing I've made clear to the staff is that we always operate under three major principles. First, we have to make sure that we're independent, and we even have the appearance that we're independent, and there's nothing going to challenge that. Secondly, we're as transparent as possible, that the public and the veterans are entitled to know all of the work of this office and the reasons why we reach certain conclusions. And the third thing is the quality of our work, which is all of our work needs to meet at least five standards, which is it needs to be accurate, needs to be timely, needs to be thorough, it needs to be objective, and it needs to be fair. If we can meet those three overall principles, then I'm sure we can help VA better serve veterans. And at the end of the day, that's what we're here for, is to make sure veterans get the services and benefits that they deserve and earn.
So maybe that's really a sixth criterion for what is quality work, is that it's important also, because you could apply all those things to small things, but you've got some big issues.
That's correct. And one of the things I'm looking at is in talking to people and reviewing the work, is what are our priorities and should we change them in any way? Because I want to make sure the work we do is impactful. And that's a word I use a lot with the staff.
You are confirmed. You were sworn in. And
that is
so
correct.
You filled a gap of several years without a confirmed IG. What effect do you think that had on the motivation and the general outlook of the career staff?
I think not having a confirmed IG for any agency, whether it's VA or any other agency, can be a significant thing, because by having a confirmed IG, you have somebody who the Senate, the president has nominated, the Senate has blessed, and can best come up with the ideas and strategies and priorities. By having somebody in an acting position, and my predecessor, who was in an acting position, Linda Holliday, did a terrific job while she was acting. It's difficult because you don't have the same kind of authority as somebody who's been a confirmed IG.
We're speaking with Michael Missel. He is Inspector General at the Veterans Affairs Department. And so what are some, before we get to some of the priorities, I wanted to ask you in reference to that independence point that you want to emphasize. The IG is in kind of a funny place. You have almost a dual report to Congress, but actually, you know, technically to the head of the agency. And that's where that independence is sometimes tough to express. How do you get along with Bob McDonald so far?
So far, the relationship has been good. I meet with the secretary and the deputy secretary on a monthly basis. They understand our independence, but I want to hear from them what their priorities are, areas that they think we should be looking at. And with respect to independence, that is such a key component of any IG, because we don't report to anyone. We report to the American public. We report to veterans to make the services and benefits of VA. We make reports to the secretary. We make reports to Congress. But at the end of the day, we determine the work we're going to do and the reports we're going to put out.
And so what are the top priorities do you see that emerge early on in your tenure?
Quality of health care is extremely important. The timeliness of health care is extremely important. The accuracy of benefits and the timeliness of benefits. Those are the major areas that VA is spending money in serving veterans. So we're really focused on those areas as well as prescription drugs and mental health services. So seem to be the hot button issues these days.
And how much of the work is looking at the finances versus the program and mission delivery?
We're always looking at the finances. We do regular audits of the finances. And of course, we're looking at how they spend money. And are they spending money in an efficient way? Is any money being wasted? Because after all, this is taxpayer money going in. And one of our jobs is to make sure taxpayer money is spent in the most effective way possible.
Because there are some major projects in VA. In fact, the Commission on Care just came out with a report, and one of their chief findings was to have the VA get better control of its capital process and its capital assets. Mm-hmm. And I think they had Aurora, you know, Colorado in mind maybe when they were talking about that. And so is that an area that you're looking at also, the construction and the capital assets area?
Absolutely. And we have underway a review of the Aurora, which is the Aurora Medical Center construction. And we've been asked by Congress to take a look at it, and we should be coming out shortly with our findings on that.
And how much of the work do you know comes through whistleblowers versus areas that you choose? Whistleblowers are just people that bring something to your attention that are not, you know, the typical official channels.
Right. Whistleblowers are critical to our work. We do get a significant amount of leads from whistleblowers. We assess each and every allegation that comes in through either whistleblowers or anyone else. And what we want to do is make sure that they recognize that this is an agency where they can feel comfortable coming to us, that we're going to look at things fairly and objectively and thoroughly, and that if they want to be protected, if their identity wants to be protected, we're going to make sure they're protected.
Because given some of the events at VA in 2015 and 2014 with respect to whistleblowers, they're probably super sensitive almost to go the other way, your way, than perhaps they were a couple of years ago or 5 years ago.
And one of the things I've said through my confirmation process and continue today, whistleblowers are critical to this organization. We want to create an environment where they feel comfortable raising anything with us.
And talk more about transparency. You mentioned that's one of the three major tenets that you're looking at. What does that mean for an IG office when much of what you have to be investigating is confidential?
Right. So transparency can be defined a couple of different ways. One is internal transparency. I want to make sure the staff understands decisions from leadership, our priorities and to make sure we're all working towards the same goal. With respect to external transparency, we have essentially been given a fiduciary duty to look and do oversight of VA, and it's the public's right to know what we're doing and why we're doing it. So we're making sure that all the work that we do that can be disclosed publicly is. Obviously, we deal a lot with health records, which have certain protections. We do criminal investigations, which have certain protections as well. But anything that otherwise isn't protected by law, we want to make sure that the public is aware of that.
Now, that whole topic of electronic health records kind of bridges to the IT issue at VA, which is something of some consternation around that. And I know she's been, Laverne Council has been CIO for probably about 18 months now.
Correct.
And has a major modernization challenge ahead. Is that an area that you're focusing on also?
Yes. We do regular audits of VA's IT function and practices. And I've met with Laverne, and we've discussed where they're going with their IT policies. And in fact, she said, I want you to know, because if we're not doing things right or we could be doing things better, I want you to tell me.
All right. And let's talk about the office itself. You said there's 700 people.
Correct.
But what does that mean in terms of the size of VA? Do you have enough people, first of all?
I think right now we're assessing whether we do. In the fiscal year 2017 budget, right now we're in line to get an increase, and we greatly appreciate the confidence that Congress has so far shown, and hopefully that will get signed. I think it's an area that we're looking to see if our staffing is in the right place. Should we move people around into different areas? And are there areas we need to build up?
Now, your background is large law firms. You're a lawyer. What kinds of skills do you think are needed in general, and it could be more than one, throughout the VAIG?
We're broken into three major, what I would call, business areas. One is we do healthcare inspections and investigations if we get a complaint on the quality of care. The second major area is audit and inspections, and the third major area is both criminal and administrative investigations. So we need to make sure that those three areas are aligned with the priorities and the work of the VA.
I guess the medical area is the central part of VA, and so you must have subject matter experts, maybe doctors even, that are part of the IG staff?
We have a number of medical doctors. We have psychiatrists, we have nurses, we have social workers, we have other healthcare providers as well. VA does spend most of its money in the healthcare field, and we have a lot to cover in that area.
We're speaking with Michael Missel, the Inspector General of the Veterans Affairs Department. And that gets me to the topic of the Choice Act, and the Commission on Care really recommended a vast expansion of that whole choice program, which raises a lot of questions for VA. But the recent report said that they had, I think, 2 million appointments. And I don't know whether that's a big number or a small number in the context of all VA appointments. But given that there are 250,000 outside providers, it's only like 1 week's worth of appointments for any given one. So are you going to be concentrating on the choice program, because there's so many aspects of the quality of care, the oversight, the legitimacy of providers, and so forth?
We already have in place a number of projects looking at the Choice Act to make sure that it's being implemented as Congress envisioned it.
And the access issue is ongoing, and Congress is looking at that, and the IG is looking at that. What comes next in that whole area?
We have additional work in that area, and I expect we'll have some things to say in the coming months with respect to access.
Because that really brings together everything. It brings together IT, it brings together medicine, it brings together program performance, and just basic truth-telling, because there was a lot of misinformation around that whole thing that was reported, in the general press. So I guess you have to figure out what it is you're trying to find out specifically.
And that goes to transparency, and we got to be very clear in our reports about what we're doing, the scope of our work, and what we're finding, and that's one of our goals we're trying to achieve.
Now, IGs, of course, have no term exactly, and it is at the pleasure of the president, and I guess presidents tend to try to stay away from politicizing the IG office, but nevertheless, there's an election coming up.
Correct.
And this administration will end Lord knows what's going to happen in come January. But what would you like to do if you knew that it was a long-term type of a slot that you had?
I came into this job expecting it to be long-term. I hope to prove that I'm doing the job the way the public would expect me to do it. And if so, I hope to have a long tenure here.
And before we close, tell us about your background. I said major law firm, but a little more to it than that.
Sure. I actually first came to Washington right out of college with an accounting degree, worked on Capitol Hill, expected to go back home to Connecticut to be an accountant, ended up going to law school here, started working at the Securities and Exchange Commission, always wanted to be in public service. I was convinced to go to this law firm 29 years ago, which I thought was going to be a very short stay. But as I said, it ended up being 29 years of a great career. But in the back of my mind, I always wanted to come back into public service. And when this opportunity came, I couldn't think of anything more meaningful than being an IG, and particularly at this office and department.
So you started in public service, then did a generation or a career outside of it. Now you're back in it. If you can remember back those 29 years, how different is it now, or is it?
It's similar in some respects. I was an investigator and prosecutor at the SEC. That's part of what we do. So there are similarities. While I was in private practice, I worked pretty extensively with the government, representing clients in government investigations and other government action. So I think I've kept abreast of any changes that are going on in the federal government.
Veterans Affairs Inspector General Michael Missile. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click Share with Friends.